before Thomas convinced Caroline that George was simply doing them all a favour. "For the last time, Tom, I didn't ask for your sister's hand as a favour to you." Tom looked at him as though he were a loon. "But with the depth of your coffers, you could marry anyone you wished." "And I am marrying exactly whom I wish." George speared him with a look. "So you can simply clear your brain box of the absurd notion that my actions are the result of pity or charity or anything of that sort." They both dismounted and handed their reins to waiting grooms before making their way up to the house. Some of George's happiest memories were connected with Downey House. For George's entire childhood, his own father worked on amassing his fortune, while George's mother had relentlessly pursued the elusive standing in society she coveted. Only at Downey House had George not felt alone. The early years of happy camaraderie with Tom and his brother Edward had paled in later years compared to Caroline's companionship. They'd not been in one another's company as often as he and the male members of her family had. Nevertheless, she and she alone was the reason he continued to return after his years at Oxford, and despite having a country home of his own. She was the part of Downey House he'd missed most acutely over the past 14 months. "But why Caro?" Tom had harped on this same topic for weeks, ever since he'd heard of the betrothal. "She's not what most would consider a beauty." "The assessment of a brother," George replied. "Your sister happens to be a very lovely and fine-looking lady. More importantly, she is intelligent, possesses a witty sense of humour, is accomplished, an excellent conversationalist."
"Enough!"
Tom held up his hands in surrender. "If you promise to quit making my bumbling baby sister sound like the toast of the town, I'll promise to stop quizzing you about your choice of fiancés."
"I will accept that offer, my friend."
They even shook on it. George's past had been far from picturesque, but his future looked brighter. Mr. Downey had accepted his offer. Edward, the oldest brother, had seemed enthusiastic at the prospect of the match. Tom didn't mean to make things awkward, and Caroline, his darling beloved Caroline, had agreed to the match. His future was bright indeed. 2. George and Tom were late. Mother again wore her all-too-familiar expression of pitying sadness. "I do wish we had arranged for you to have a new dress. George spends the season in town, and you must surely seem a dowd when compared to the well-to-do young ladies he interacts with there."
That was not a very comforting comparison.
"Fortunately for me, George already knows our financial situation."
Heat stained her cheek at just how aware he must have been of every aspect of their lives.
"My thrice-mended sleeves and threadbare hem will come as no surprise."
"I suppose not."
Mother fretted with the fringe of her shawl.
"It's not as though he hasn't seen you in outmoded dresses and such all of your life."
Mother was not helping in the least. She made Caroline sound like the absolute worst marriage prospect imaginable.
"How did the arrangement come about?"
Until now, Caroline hadn't yet had the courage to ask, not wanting to hear the answer. She felt, however, it would be best to know all she could before George arrived.
"Did he ask Father, or did Father make the proposition to him?"
"I don't rightly know."
Mother ran her fingers over the keys of the pianoforte as she passed. "The entire thing was arranged in London. At their club, I believe."
"At their club?"
"Meaning, of course, they were likely drunk as wheelbarrows when the agreement was reached."
"Wasn't that terribly fitting?"
"Do not use such an undignified expression, Caroline,"
Mother scolded.
"My apologies."
Before the silence grew overly long, Mother spoke again.
"Between the two of us, I must say I'm convinced that much of the reason for your fortuitous match lies in George's mother's ambitions."
Everyone knew of those. Mrs. Barrington's not-so-subtle eye was on more exalted rungs of the ladder of society than she could ever hope to reach on her own.
"The Downeys may not be wealthy," Mother added, "but we have a fair bit of cachet."
Although that was diminishing with each generation. Caroline's great-grandfather had been a duke. Caroline's father was the youngest son of the duke's youngest son, which made her one step removed from being an absolute nobody. Apparently, however, that one step meant something to the Barringtons. Boisterous male voices sounded in the corridor. Though the family maintained an income sufficient for both a butler and a footman, the servants were never boisterous.